Hey, welcome back to another episode of Learning the Ropes, a pro wrestling podcast. My name is Scott, or Rhyme Time. I've got Brian with me.
Hello.
And we've got a special guest for episode two, Adam from House of Lewis.
Yeah, I'm special.
He's special. So we're going to jump right in. This last week, Brian, who'd we watch?
So last week's episode was on Macho Man Randy Savage, and the main match that we went over was his match with Ultimate Warrior.
Right.
And I was infatuated with that match, so I wanted to know more about Ultimate Warrior.
Cool.
That's who we're going to learn about today.
Yeah, and then, so I gave him and Adam six essential matches from Ultimate Warrior, had them watch that, had them watch some promos and clips, and then he's going to pick one of those opponents from that list of six matches, mm-hmm. and that'll be the topic of next week's episode.
Yep, and this one's really hard this week. You really dug deep for the Ultimate Warrior matches, and every single one of his opponents I want to know more about.
Well, it was those are the six matches we're talking about. Get into it. And then we brought on Adam this week because Adam is was as a kid a diehard Ultimate Warrior fan. So what we want to do is I want to get Brian's fresh take on it. Then we'll get Adam's portrayal of what it was like to be a wrestling fan growing up in the 80s, loving Ultimate Warrior,
yeah.
and then my more jaded take on Warrior and how things actually were. I think that'll come after
my,
that.
And my take is more childlike, like right now, you know, because
you're like a baby.
I'm a baby when it comes to wrestling, you know, yeah. so I'm just drinking all this stuff in because we have the current stuff. Like, I think we've talked about it a little bit before where it's, you know, the tough guy thing, you know, like... Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, like, you know, they're not real characters. They're just tough guys.
Right.
Whereas, like, back in the day, they were vibrant and bright and goofy and
Warrior
strange.
Maybe more than any of them.
Oh my goodness,
yeah. Your character.
Well, and so we're coming clean off of Macho Man, who is also a crazy character, right?
Yeah, you really jumped from like one lunatic to another. I'm really excited to talk about the the Mega Maniacs. So what they're called?
Yeah.
We'll
get there. So like, and that was probably the first. When you send us the clips,
Ultimate Maniacs. Shit, of course.
Is it the
Mega Powers? I was thinking Mega Powers.
Honest mistake.
The 80s, so good. So
right.
Let's jump right in. I'll list out the matches that we watched.
Yeah.
We started out with Ultimate Warrior versus Honky Tonk Man for the Intercontinental Championship, SummerSlam 88. Then I had him watch the Royal Rumble match, the actual Rumble from 1990. Warrior versus Hogan, the IC title, and the World Heavyweight on the line. Warrior versus Rick Rude, Warrior versus Slaughter, and then Warrior versus Undertaker in a body bag match from 91.
Yep.
So we won't go through every match one by one or anything, but I just, now that you've seen some essential Ultimate Warrior clips, I just kind of want to get your take on
that. Hulk Hogan has a force field around him that he is just starting to understand. That was like some of his promos. I wanted to know if he actually had those planned out or if he was just kind of rolling with it as he was going.
The whole world wants to know. I still don't know.
Yeah, and that was kind of the thing with him that I had to figure him out before I decided whether I liked him or not. I love him. I love Ultimate Warrior. And those matches were all great. There were three that caught my eye that I really liked.
Three of the six that we watched?
Yeah, three of the six that I since we just discussed one, but there was the cage match with Rick Rude.
I loved that match.
That one was a great match. There was the Hulk Hogan match where they do the, what is that thing that they do? Like, he holds
test
up his
strength.
Hand.
Test of strength.
That, classic. Okay. Classic late 80s, early 90s move, the
is
test
it?
Of strength.
I feel like that is so boring.
You're not wrong. Doesn't mean they didn't do it a lot.
And they do a lot of, they did that and they did a lot of bear hugs, you know, and the bear hugs take forever. And it's like, guys, come on, I know you're not squeezing, but it's okay. You know, they're real tired, but let's see.
It does seem like a rest move.
It seems like a rest move. It seems like a communication move, you know, like, let's figure out what we're going to do.
And then they can't agree on it, so it takes forever. They're just like, no, brother, I'm doing this. I'm going over.
But the one that I want to talk about is actually the Sergeant Slaughter match, because that one actually had a few things happening in there that I found really, really intriguing.
Okay.
And so in the Macho Man match that actually you had mentioned, Adam, you know, when we were talking about, or when you know.
When I sent the list over.
When you sent the list over, you're like, why didn't you include this match? And it was the Macho Man, you know, Randy Savage match. It's because we talked about that one last time.
And that's a great match.
Yeah, that's
a,
oh,
that's a, by far.
That is one of my favorite matches that I've watched thus far.
Yeah.
But there's a, like, Ultimate Warrior, for some reason, gets cheers when he attacks women. I don't understand. Like, what's going on there?
I was
going
to say it's a different time. Yeah, but is it?
But, anyway, like, I mean, I know that the woman's a heel, but, I mean, just, come on.
No, and it's a tie back to the Macho Man match from last week, too.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because in that match with Sergeant Slaughter, Sherry runs out, Macho runs out.
And that's what I was saying, is, yeah, like, he grabs her hair, and he brings her into the ring again, and he does them, and he actually, like legitimately throws her.
He, like, throws her to the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great spot.
And there was there's that, and then there's also, like, the overt racism in that match, you know?
Not
like,
just that match. Well, we'll get into that later.
Well, that's at least what I saw in there, but, you know, it was like the ultimate, like, patriotism, like, oh, this is for the troops, you know, and all this.
And for those who don't remember, this is in the Sergeant Slaughter heel phase where he goes against, because did you know Sergeant Slaughter before this match?
No idea. He has a huge chin.
Yes.
He sure does.
He sure does.
He has an enormous chin.
He he started in the business as, like, Mr. America. His big thing, that Sergeant Slaughter, he was like a G.I. Joe character.
Yeah, okay. He was on G.I. Joe.
Yeah, literally on G.I. Joe's.
Yeah, he did basically live bumpers for, like, was it just at the beginning and end of episodes? I don't really remember. I just remember he was on the cartoon. Like
they would, like, cut to him and...
Yeah.
You're watching G.I. Joe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay. Give some little patriotic speech.
Don't let children play in refrigerators. Those are the best parts of old 90s cartoons, is, like, how many times they thought we were going to get trapped in old refrigerators. Like, there was, like, a Punky Brewster about it. There was, like, I feel like every cartoon was like, and we're back from My Pet Monster. Now don't go playing in a refrigerator, kid.
But anyway, yeah, there's that. And, like, I guess they went real hard. I think this was, like, during the Gulf War or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We were in some kind of conflict. And so, anyway,
So now he's switched sides.
It's an easy way to get people to hate him.
Yep.
And then
the easiest.
But then you've got Ultimate Warrior with his red, white, and blue face paint, and then also his trunks and whatnot. And I actually, like, not to say that, you know, when we're at war with somebody, you know, we're against that country, but, like, he's ripping up the flag and choking him with it and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, boy.
I had forgotten about that. Yeah. That was a little insane.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. And it's, you know, just whatever. But anyway.
It was a different time.
It seemed like a different time, but.
Was it later on that exact same event when Sergeant Slaughter, like, he either burns or, like, rips up an American flag.
Oh, shoot.
And people got really mad.
I forgot when he burns it, because it wasn't during that match.
So he legitimately burns one, though. We know he
does.
Burns
one.
Yeah. Confirmed.
And it was crazy.
Okay.
It was crazy back then, and it's even crazier now. Like, it was so... Yeah, he was a great bad guy. I don't know. That's all I have to say.
No, that's what I thought. That's what. Oh, exactly. And the thing is, he owned it. He even got new boots for it.
He got the curvy... Iron Sheik boots, which nobody uses anymore except Xavier Woods.
Yeah,
does
that's
Xavier
right.
Woods use
he
them?
Does. Yep. I think just as a little reference for
throwback
for the people who will know.
But
what
anyway,
do you think of what do you think of him in the ring, like as an actual wrestler?
Okay, so this was hard for me because like he didn't seem like a really incredibly technical wrestler.
He was not.
Yeah. Like okay, so I'm glad that I got that nailed down. It seemed that his character is what ruled the ring rather than, you know, his persona was what ruled the ring more than anything else because you didn't see him doing too many crazy things. Like, people kind of give John Cena crap, at least I've heard, that he can't really wrestle. From what I've seen, he wrestles kind of a hell of a lot better than an Ultimate Warrior.
So then I want to segue over to Adam real quickly because, Adam, you grew up watching Ultimate Warrior. You told me he was one of your favorites. And so now we're getting into, do little kids care about actual wrestling or is it all character? So I want to get your take on like how you got introduced to him. And...
Oh, that's a good question. I hadn't thought about that.
I would say little kids do not care at all about movesets.
Really?
From thinking back at it. Like even, okay, I've gone back and watched old Undertaker. Undertaker was one of my favorites. Hulk Hogan, obviously. I'll go back and watch old matches of theirs and just be like, oh, okay. But like,
like it's just not as good as you thought it was?
Well, yeah, basically.
Okay,
but like,
okay.
We'll keep it to Ultimate Warrior. Very, very little. He's got like Gorilla Press Slam.
Yeah.
The, I don't know, the Splash.
The
Warrior
Splash. Yeah.
He's got shoulder tackle.
Stiff
He's got
clotheslines.
Clotheslines. kind of punches.
Once in a while.
That's about it. But
shakes those ropes, though.
As a kid, exactly. Shakes I did the hell not, out of those ropes. I did not care at all as a
those,
kid.
Those lat pull downs, too.
Yeah. The second that music hit, I would go crazy.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I'd go and, you know, pretend like I was shaking the ropes. I'd just be like, and I'd be like going, and be going crazy. And he just had like crazy energy. He was a big, muscly dude. He had the tassels and everything, flying giant hair. And
so what was he was saying that like the tassels were for all the warriors to hang on to him or something like that. Like what was his gimmick? Like exactly because I wasn't expecting like the lack of intelligence.
I can tell you that he started out as the Dingo Warrior. This is true. His original gimmick was the Dingo Warrior.
Well, before that, he was in Blade Runners with Sting.
Yeah, so him and Sting came up together.
What's Blade Runners?
Well, there was a movie called Blade Runners.
Yeah, I don't...
Is this different than Blade Runner, the movie, or...?
I think they just kind of ripped it off. It was a popular movie, so they ripped it off.
And I don't think the gimmick itself had anything to... Like, no, I think it was just the name. They just took the name, and they were two big, muscly dudes with... I think they had face paint.
I think that's the thing that, like, got me is just, like, holy crap, he's... And on his promos, he's walking around, he's giving his back to the camera and whatnot, and I'm just like, holy... Shit, he's huge, you know. Yeah. And but no, I cut you off.
Oh, that's okay.
But like he's I love the tassels. I love the getup, and I think that's what I like from this era of wrestling is like all the costumes.
And Warrior's a great example of that era of wrestling because he was the Dingo Warrior, he got brought into WWF. And Vince McMahon, in true Vince McMahon fashion, was just mad that there were multiple people named Warriors. There were the Road Warriors. There were some other Warriors.
Oh, really?
And he's like, I don't want another Warrior. Unless he's the Ultimate Warrior. Oh, yeah. And that's how he got his name.
Oh, so was he running the show at this point in time?
Vince was, yeah.
Because
right around when WrestleMania was starting, like the first one.
Okay.
That's like sort of when he started taking over from his dad. And we talked last week about the territories.
Oh, yeah.
And it moving into more of a monopoly. And so that's all Vince McMahon.
Because he was announcing for one of the matches that you had given me.
Yeah, he stayed an on-air talent for a long time.
Okay, yeah.
Long time.
And yeah,
it was funny too because like the announcer next to him was like, "What the hell is he even doing? What is he grabbing from the sky?" And like Vince McMahon is trying to educate him. He's like, "He's grabbing for the power from the spirits or whatever." You know, it's just.
Do you have any memories of Warrior promos from when you were a kid?
The number one thing I remember is how he would say Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
Because me and my brothers would do that all the time. We'd be like, Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior. And I just remember like Fuel for the Rocket Ship, stuff like that.
Yeah. Fuel for the Rocket Ship, what is that?
I don't think that was one of the promos that you sent, but there's one where I think it was before, it might have been before the Hulk Hogan match at WrestleMania. I don't know. He's talking about... He's got the fuel for the rocket ship, and they're going to blast off or something. This is the thing. You cannot describe what any warrior promo is about because it doesn't really make sense. It's just about the strength of the warriors and the...
They were just stream of consciousness. They were just... And nobody even back then knew if he had planned it or if he was just freestyling and he was just...
Seemed like some freestyle, like really hardcore. Like it was really aimless sometimes. But you got the idea.
That's what I was gonna say. Is like I don't remember very many specifics, but I just remember thinking like, oh, he's gonna beat that guy up or something like that. Like this is maybe a strained analogy, but it reminds me of like Aesop Rock lyrics, where like you don't know you don't understand exactly what he's saying, but you're like, oh, okay, I get the
gist.
Concept.
All dressed up like a spider in a cup.
Exactly.
Cool, man. Got it. Moving on.
Well, okay.
I'm taking a piece of your crystal, and dressing it up like a spider in a cup.
Well, so there was that promo with Warrior, where he's like a piece of crystal from the.
Yeah,
I had to
include that one.
Oh gosh, and it's like, and he decided to sew it up inside of his head. So Macho Man Randy Savage, you can come get it if you want it so bad, you know. And
it was the best.
I loved that, like just weirdness. But like Adam, what is your favorite match from Ultimate Warrior?
It'd probably have to be the Hulk Hogan Ultimate Warrior match because that was like crazy at the time. I was what eight? I would have been 8 at the time. And it was my two favorites going against each other. And just like, you just didn't know what was going to happen as an 8-year-old. You're just like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Who do I pick? I don't know. Who do I want?
And even as an adult, they both came into it with titles.
Yeah.
So one had the IC title.
That was probably
title.
The coolest part for me.
Yeah, it's like, what happens? Because Hogan's been running over everybody forever, but now is he going to be the heavyweight champ and the IC champ, or is he going to... I mean, they did a great job of pushing Warrior.
Yeah, they did. Well, and the other thing that seems to be lacking in wrestling is, like, if two guys hop in the ring, they have to hate each other. You know what I mean? Like, that just seems to be the gimmick, you know? Like, there's no way that they can have a mutual respect for each other, but I always like those matches. Well, not always, but I a lot of the time I like those matches where both guys come out on top, you know? Like, where Hogan, after that match, he lost. He's all pissed off and upset, you know? And then he grabs his belt and he hands it to Warrior. And, you know, it's like they're both victorious in
that
way. Big hug. Yeah, it's like... And Hogan seemed to have a couple moments like that, you know, where I don't know if that was his ego saying, I don't want my...
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's kind of the feeling that...
He's not walking to the back until that other guy is gone. He is... Yeah, this is still the Hulk Hogan show. Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan!
Like, when I was 8 and watched that match, I didn't pay any attention to the fact that Hogan kicks out like the millisecond after 3. I never even noticed that as a kid. And then years later, when I became much more of a smart and stuff, and I watched again, I saw that. I was like, oh, that dick. Yeah. He couldn't even let him get like a solid 3.
And I couldn't remember who won that match when I was rewatching it. And there's the part where, and I had the opposite reaction for just the pinball attempt before, where... Warrior hits the backsplash and slowly takes his time rolling Hogan over. And I was like, if he gets the 3 count after slow rolling him over, taking a nap, just like, oh, I'll get to him. You know how powerful my backsplash is? And just like finally rolls him over. And then luckily Hogan kicked out. But you're right. It was like 1, 2, 3, kick out.
Yeah.
Yep. Like it was barely got me, brother.
Yeah. And I was actually wondering what that was all about as well. Cause like that seemed, I mean, of course they kind of figure that out beforehand, right? It's like, you're going to go down right here.
Yeah. They'll have the endings planned out and definitely Warrior had two types of matches, and one was very short and maybe unplanned, and one was a little bit longer than that, meticulously planned.
I see.
And both were very hard for him. Really? He just didn't have a great run.
So was it just because he just, like, so in your opinion, Scott, I feel like we haven't really covered your thoughts on him. Like, what do you think?
He was not, when I grew up watching wrestling, he was not the character that really grabbed me. And I wasn't watching hardcore all the time until, like, the Attitude Era, like, 97.
Okay.
And by then, my big introductions to the Warrior were, like, through video games.
Oh, okay.
And so... It was hard to sort of jump in and go back and watch some of these matches, those big iconic matches that I hadn't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had seen them, I'd watched them on a VHS tape like a decade before. My take on the Warrior is he was a lunatic real life that carried it over. And he was just from what everyone has said, I read a lot of interviews about Warrior and watched a documentary about him. And he just seems like a huge asshole.
Yeah.
Really?
Huge, selfish asshole.
Is that really true?
It's really true. And we will get into some very specific examples.
Okay.
So I want to talk a little bit about how much they pushed Warrior because it's crazy.
Okay.
I mean, this guy was pretty green. He had a very small amount of moves that he did, way fewer than Hogan, way fewer than Macho Man. Like it was just those ones that Adam listed. And
out of the three of those guys, who had the biggest move set? Would you say?
I think Macho Man.
Yeah, Macho Man.
Yeah, okay. Hogan's kind of famous for only having a few moves, but
then you go to like Hogan would wrestle in Japan sometimes, and he'd do some moves in Japan that he wouldn't do in the U.S.
Oh, really?
And he's kind of said, like, he's like, well, if I can get the crowd to go crazy for, like, punches and a leg and a big foot and a leg drop, why am I going to do
jump
a bunch more?
And,
interesting.
You know, when I don't need to.
Interesting.
Yeah. And you do get into that with some young guys wrestling now. They'll be on the indies and they'll do, you know, triple backflip, moonsault, thing. Right. And they're destroying their bodies.
Right.
Just for, like, a desperate chance to crack in to the WWE. And really, Hogan had already made it. He was just given the free ride pretty much to the top. And so I kind of get it why The Rock was the same way. The Rock's had interviews saying, I never jumped off the top rope. I never did all this stuff to protect my body because I had the ability to handle the crowd other ways.
If you can make the crowd go crazy by lifting your eyebrow,
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need to learn how to do a 450 splash.
Yeah, you don't have to get dropped on thumbtacks and chairs and bricks.
That's actually a really interesting perspective because in watching, I mean, since I've got the WWE Network and watching 205 Live, you know, those guys are crazy. Like, and they're flying off the top and they're doing all these crazy flips and whatnot. Whereas, like, the main roster, I guess they're part of the main roster, but you know what I mean? Like, the Raw and SmackDown, they're slower matches, but you still get the drama. And in a way, you're kind of connecting with their characters a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think that's actually why I like Jack Gallagher right now.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about him a little bit earlier.
Because he doesn't flip and do all those crazy things. He's just got an umbrella.
Yeah. he's got like a ton of charisma.
Wicked headbutt.
But it's simple, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry, I cut you off.
No, not to just sort of crap today on Warrior, because he certainly had his fans and he did a lot of things really well. Some things not so well, but even as a person, he's just kind of a shitty person. It's just so some of the things that I remembered looking up was just stuff like he beat Honky Tonk Man's 454 day undefeated streak.
Okay,
so he was the IC champ, and it had been like a year and a half. Intercontinental Championship. Okay,
we'll have to talk about all the championships at some point.
It's a B+. It's not the heavyweight championship, but it's sort of the next one down.
Yeah, like back then, it was kind of the title you would win, usually on your way up to eventually wrestling for the world title.
Oh, okay. Which is exactly what Warrior did.
Yeah. Okay.
So he became the IC title and then literally took it to the world heavyweight fight with him. So they pushed him. He was the one to break that giant streak. And then his head just got so big. There were rumors that he was, they're not rumors. I mean, Vince McMahon came out and said that there were times where he would say, "I'm not going out and wrestling tonight unless you give me, you know, $500,000. And Vince would just be like, "That's not how we're going to do this. Okay, fine. I guess we are going to do this. Here's your $500,000. And he'd fire him. Then he'd bring him back. And then he got fired again for violating a drug policy. They fired him again. They brought him back a third time. He got fired again for no showing dates. Like, he was just not one of the boys. Okay. Everybody said he dressed in his own locker room by himself. He was just an asshole. He was selfish. He didn't want to lose, which was a common theme of those days. I mean, Hogan didn't want to lose. Hogan was kind of an asshole.
And then you also had Macho Man, you were saying last week, where he brought a gun to the, you know, he had a gun in his locker room.
Did you ever hear about that?
No.
Macho Man was so protective of Elizabeth. Yeah, that he would make her lock her in a locker room by herself so no one would get near him.
Like
and then start bringing guns with him, too.
I'm wondering if the egos are as big nowadays as they were back then.
I don't know. You hear stories, but I don't
come and go too much. Come and go too much in order to.
The reigns are a little shorter.
Yeah.
The roster's a lot bigger, so you have multiple spots. The brand split, I think, might help that, so you can have two people feel like they're top dog. You don't picture anybody just coke-fueled bringing guns with them.
I was going to say, there's a lot less recreational drug use. They're just like, you know, playing video games and appearing on Up, Up, Down, Down backstage and
exactly.
stuff.
Just the idea of somebody It's just playing video games backstage. The crazy character that they've got right now is Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Compare him to just the smallest jobber from the 80s, and he seems like Jack Gallagher. Yeah. Like he's crazy. I was like, well, maybe have him do something crazy. Like, I haven't seen him slap a fan yet. I haven't seen him do this is crazy.
I'd love to see that.
So here's something I think that you'd like to know. In 93, he changed his name legally to Warrior.
Mm-hmm. Really?
This is one of those things where on the one hand I'm like, that's crazy, but on the other hand it's not, because by doing that he could use the Warrior name outside of WWF/E. Right.
Oh, that's smart, because so you sent us a Halloween Havoc match in 1998.
Yeah, I sent him a bonus match. I forgot I have to send him the rematch, the Hogan Warrior rematch. So I sent the 1997.
And they referred to him only as the Warrior in that match.
Right, Ultimate wasn't part of it.
Right.
So you could call him Warrior.
I wasn't sure what that was all about. That's super interesting.
And like a recent example of that is Ryback.
After he
left WWE, he changed his name to Is it Ryan Ryback Reeves or Ryback Reeves?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. He legally changed his name to have Ryback in it so that he could use the name.
My friend James just met him.
Yeah?
Yeah, he wrestled for... Ryback did a show with the indie fed that I used to wrestle for.
Oh, wow.
And so way back in the day. And, like, they just posted a picture. And my friend James was like, oh, I met Ryback. I was like, cool. Like, who brought him out? And he's like, oh, Big Time Wrestling. And my friend James had no idea that I, like, wrestled with them and had done wrestling. And, like, we just met at, like, just the right time where, like, I didn't bring it up.
It's really serendipitous.
So, and then...
That's interesting that they protect their brands like that, though. I love that they, oh, yeah, that they would protect their brands like
that. Yeah,
it's
a business first. Yeah. When they brought him back once, I saw this great interview with Triple H talking about how when Triple H was just a mid-card guy, mm-hmm, starting his big push to the top, they brought back Ultimate Warrior and had him face Triple H at Triple H's first WrestleMania. And Triple H said that it was really sweet and sour because on one hand, he was like, I'm at WrestleMania. Finally, like everything I've worked for is finally paying off. And they trust me enough to work with a legend, so I'm facing the Ultimate Warrior. And then he said Warrior was such a dickhead that he ruined it for him, and now his first WrestleMania experience is kind of shit on.
And it's, like, it's like meeting your favorite musician, you know, yeah, where you're just like, oh man, it's going to be so cool. And then the person like puts their cigarette out in your face.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Just to give some more context, the match was literally Warrior coming out. Triple H gives him a pedigree. Warrior pops up. I think he gorilla slams him, splashes him. The match is over in like 12 seconds.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't great. Wait, so kind of like that Honky Tonk Man match.
Yeah, that Honky Tonk Man match
was over so fast.
Yeah, yeah. But like, so wait, Warrior won that match at WrestleMania?
Mm-hmm. Warrior won a lot of matches.
He seemed to win a lot of matches.
I started looking, when we started rewatching all of these, like, mm-hmm, I was like, you know, he didn't win the Rumble. That went to Hogan, but Warrior was doing,
yeah,
fine.
Hulk Hogan.
The one I couldn't believe, it was after he had been fired so many times, is when he beats Undertaker in the body bag match.
Yeah.
Which was kind of Undertaker's gimmick. And Undertaker hits the tombstone on him, and that just, I was like, oh, he's got this in the bag. And he didn't. And then he does the Undertaker, he puts him in the body bag. And I was expecting for like a great shot of like him sitting up out of the body bag right before it gets zipped. No, they wait for it to get zipped up. Then later he does it. He sits up in the bag. I was like,
he looked so stupid.
They hadn't quite fleshed out that
character yet. I feel like that must have been on a house show or something.
Yeah,
that's why Warrior won.
It was like a WCW Saturday night, or what was it? WWF? I don't know.
I think it was a Madison Square Garden house show or something.
Crazy. But that's on YouTube if you want to find it.
Yeah, it was great. I loved watching that one.
So I want to jump into story time. Ooh. Because now that we're sort of in the meat of, like,
everyone,
what a crazy person this guy is. Now, there's a few...
Oh, the stories.
The stories. It was almost impossible to pick which story to do because I could do the time where Warrior wrote an entire blog post about how he was glad Heath Ledger was dead. Because he was in a movie called Bend Over Mountain. Broke back. He was incredibly anti-gay.
Yeah.
He was incredibly racist.
Right.
He was, xenophobic. He was just like a monster. And he had this amazing-to-read website called...
Was it Distressity?
Yeah, I think it was Distressity. And I couldn't pick. I was reading all these blog posts, and I was just like, I don't know which crazy thing to pick first.
Man, I wish that I had read some of these.
I'll send them to you.
The internet can ruin your childhood heroes
quite easily. Yeah.
Poor Adam. I feel so bad right now. It's just this is your guy, and...
Well, you grow up, and your tastes change, and you find out he gave a speech at a college about how queer and don't make the world work, and you're just like, oh, he's a terrible person.
Oh.
But I can still watch that Hulk Hogan match and get really excited, even during the boring test of strength.
Yeah, his pumping up is great.
Yeah.
You know?
So I was watching some of these videos, and he had a like an hour-long video diatribe against Hulk Hogan.
I watched those. Those were actually kind of fun, just because I like drama.
Yeah, and there was tons of it. And the story that I decided to pick was, if this was back in 2011...
Mm-hmm.
Way before the Gawker scandal and anything, Warrior broke the news that Hulk Hogan was into wife swapping.
Yeah.
And which the world did not really know besides this crazy person ranting about it. Besides that, no one really knew that he was into like having sex with other people's wives. And Warrior broke the news. But how would you know that he was right about that part when it's in the middle of just this hour-long diatribe of insanity? Just, like, talking shit on Hogan's kids. And he goes on for, like, 5 minutes about, like, one tweet where Hogan says, like, hey, I got to see my son DJ. He's pretty good. And he's like, you don't know your son's a great DJ? Oh, if you were around, you'd know how great of a DJ your son is. Yeah, it was crazy. And so
he's just like this huge real life heel.
Yes, yeah.
Well, and I feel like just even in his career and after, he just had a huge insecurity problem. Like,
really?
Because I think even with a lot of those threatened payoffs and stuff, he knew that Hogan was making more. And he thought he was just as important as Hogan, so he thought he should make the same.
Interesting.
He was wrong.
Well, yeah. That's actually one thing I noticed when I was watching. I was like, you know what? This is his matches are pretty much the same formula as Hogan matches, which is like he gets beat up for a long time, and then he hulks up. I guess in Warrior's case, like he warriors up. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's something I had forgotten about is how he also hulks up.
He hits his, you know, three moves, does his finisher, and wins. Everyone goes crazy. The problem is that, like, it's a great formula if you're really good at it. Hulk Hogan was incredible at it. Warrior wasn't as good at it, so his matches aren't quite as good because he's not as good at selling. He's not as good at getting beat up. He's not as good at timing his comebacks.
He was like a
poor
man's Hogan.
Kind of. But then, like, luckily for him, the just energy and craziness of the character ended up kind of filling in the gaps for a bit, but not quite enough.
Okay, so I'm glad that I at least had the gist of it. You know, like just by those six matches, I was able to like assume correctly that he wasn't necessarily the greatest.
No, absolutely not. But huge on character. Staple of
and
that
that's
era.
What I loved about him. That's what I loved about him. And but yeah, like even his little hookups were kind of funny because because the dudes would still be hitting him. And whatnot, hitting him, and he's invulnerable. Like,
yeah.
And then I was like, he's invulnerable during his pump up, you know?
And then Hogan, you know, like Hogan, that match, it was like bear hug for 20 minutes.
Oh, man.
They both fall down. They both hulk up at the same time.
Yeah.
Everybody collectively jizzes themselves, and it's just like, what's going to happen? And then, like, the match kind of, and leg drop, missed leg drop, backsplash. Like, I got to say, Adam. Do you agree with me on this, that his body press slam is one of the worst moves in WWE?
There's some bad moves.
I feel like he does nothing to protect the person.
Oh, no, not at all.
He hardly ever fully gets them up. He just sort of drops, takes a step forward, and the guy's left to just...
Okay, so for people like me who don't know what you're talking about, what do you mean?
That would be the move where he lifts them up above his head and presses them up.
Okay, but you're saying, like, about protecting them. Like,
Yeah. A lot of guys will help you fall. So they would do the move where he'd maybe pick them up and then flip them over so the guy can take, like, a safe back bump.
Okay.
Or push them up high enough where they can have time to sort of adjust.
Mm-hmm.
Warrior would just sort of act, again, selfishly, push them up and then just kind of drop them without
walk
off. He just kind of flops them back like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah, it was sort of just like an unsafe-seeming move.
It's what the warriors wanted, you know, the spirit warriors.
Yeah, it's the spirit of drusticity.
Well,
it's such a tough word to say.
Yeah,
because it's like a portmanteau of destruction and city.
Yeah,
distrusticity, something like that. I can't believe you didn't bring up the Warrior comic. Where he...
I was getting there.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. Oh,
no,
go ahead.
Well, this is a great time to talk about that. On the last run he had back with the company, he feuded with Jerry the King Lawler, who was a legendary wrestler in his day, but Adam and I grew up with him as an announcer.
Okay.
And Warrior had this comic book, and I've read some of that comic book, and it is just as disjointed as his promos. And it's like, he's like attacking Santa Claus, and he's going to hell. I think there was one where he goes to hell. Maybe I'm mixing up with the Undertaker comic. Did you ever read that Undertaker comic where he goes to hell?
No.
I had no idea there were individual comics.
And Jerry the King Lawler can draw really well. That's one of his things. Like, his hidden little talents is he's like an exceptional comic book artist himself. And they got into this whole promo over these comic books. And I remember Jerry the King Lawler like bitching on some interview where he's like, I was ready to work with him, and I was going to help him out. I was going to get him over on this angle. And then he came out wearing a baseball cap that said Warrior on it.
The hat thing.
The hat thing. And the hat thing was like enough where Jerry was just like, you know what? Everybody's right about you. I'm done with you. How dare you wear a baseball cap? I'm like, if you're not going to take this seriously, I'm not going to take it seriously. And that was like pretty much the main last feud before he jumped over to WCW, which we will talk about for as long as his actual WCW run was. We got about 30 seconds. He had three matches in WCW.
Okay.
And then disappeared forever.
The classic Hulk Hogan seeing him in the reflection of the mirror moment, That's about all I know of it. I wasn't watching WCW at the time, but I saw it later.
Yeah.
It's like Hogan's like talking to himself in the mirror or something. And it's
a gimmick
like,
they had done multiple times. It's, throughout wrestling history, they'll have a promo where like it's almost supernatural, they'll see their opponent in the mirror. And so Warrior shows up and Hogan's freaking out because it's like a ghost or something, and like it was amidst all these rumors too that Ultimate Warrior was dead, like that plagued him this whole time.
How have we not talked about that?
I know.
One of the times he got fired.
Yeah.
People think it.
He's
think
like, you're really fired now because I'm killing you in the storyline. Yeah,
people think that he died, and then when he came back, it was somebody else. Kerry Von Erich was the number one theory, the Texas Tornado. That's a whole other.
We can get into Von Erichs. Yeah.
Yeah, they thought it was somebody else with the face paint on, and it wasn't the original Warrior.
Really?
Yeah, tons of rumors that he was dead. So anyway, this mirror thing, it's fantastic because he's like so scared of him. And then the camera sort of moves where you can see the Warrior standing in the room with Hogan, and they're trying to angle it right to get the reflection.
Yes.
It's a great... I think we'll close with the flash paper for the WCW Halloween Havoc match. Because that is just a great cherry
on top. I was really confused
what
was going on there.
Yeah, so were we watching it live.
I was thinking like, oh, okay, he's grabbing some brass knuckles. Wait, that's a lighter.
Yeah, Hogan got this idea, and Hogan is taking the blame for this himself, but he's like, I'm going to blind him. That's going to be what I do. I'm gonna get this flash paper and a lighter, and I'm sort of going to blow a fireball in Warrior's face. It's going to be the big finish of the match. So Hogan goes over, and it's already been a shit show. It's been 15 minutes of straight garbage. They're well past their prime. They're in WCW. They've been booked terribly. And Hogan goes over, and he just starts fumbling for like 5 minutes with this flash paper. Finally, a fireball just like erupts in his own face. And he's just like, oh man, I burned half the hair off my face off. And just, and the whole
other
crowd,
half.
Yeah, the other, yeah, exactly. The half that's left. And they, and the match just sort of ends. And it was just like a real epitome of like how terrible WCW was. And that's hard for me because I was a hardcore WCW fan. Like, I came up with wrestling, like, at the same time, Attitude Era, WWF versus WCW. And it just sucks that, like, for their main events, it was always filled with these legends. But my introductions to all of these guys, like Warrior, Macho Man, Lex Luger, like Hulk Hogan, like all these guys was in the WCW version first.
Oh, okay. You got them on the back end?
I got them like right as the lights were fading. And I was just, I don't know why everybody loves these guys so much. Because like, have you seen Eddie Guerrero? Like, what are you talking about? Just like the birth of a young smark. And so that's, I think that's a good place to end the Ultimate Warrior.
For sure.
Is he was a literal lunatic.
Who didn't even cover it all.
No, not at all. And he would just, he just looked out for himself, got pushed to the moon, became a millionaire, and just sort of stayed as crazy as he was at the beginning.
And now he's dead.
But I still love him and cried at his Hall of Fame ceremony.
And actually, that's the best place to wrap up, is because that Hall of Fame was super sad.
Was
it? And you started feeling for this monster. Like, because like, I knew about the Heath Ledger stuff, and I knew about the...
So wait, was he inducted after his death?
No.
It was actually... This is the tragedy of it. It was like right before.
Like the day before.
So he finally like made peace with WWE and was like getting along with people. He went to the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And that WrestleMania weekend, Hogan even like went up and was like, look, I feel bad that we've got this contentious relationship. I just want to apologize for the bad ways I've treated you in the past. Made peace with Vince McMahon. Came out on Raw after WrestleMania, gave a big speech. The crowd was just like loving him. This whole speech about how like, as long as you know what you've done lives on in the memories of others, you'll be alive forever. He came out and like tried to do the shake the ropes thing, and it was very... sad because he barely moved. I think for two reasons: one, because they do the ropes tighter than they used to, and two,
guys,
because
like,
he's
the
really
205
old.
Live can jump off of him,
right?
They're less
okay,
life.
Okay.
And then yeah,
he gave
old.
A big speech, and then like either that night or the next day or the next night, he was in the parking lot of the hotel he was staying at, and he had a heart attack and died.
I mean, that was crazy.
What a!
I couldn't believe it, like, watching it live. I mean. Already,
maybe
I was
this
asleep.
Is written. I don't know.
I mean, it felt like a gimmick, and it felt like it going back to those "Is the Warrior really dead?" rumors.
Is there really like a? I mean, there's bound to be a threat, but is that like a legitimate rumor?
Oh
for,
yeah,
for some people.
Oh, a lot of people like there were huge rumors that Warrior had died throughout the years.
How long ago was that?
A couple years. I mean, maybe two years ago.
Did he go after Macho Man, or?
He did go after Macho Man. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this wasn't very long ago, but also he had been out of the spotlight for so long. Unless you were tuning into his crazy-ass ramblings, you hadn't really thought of him that much.
Yeah.
But WWE, I think it speaks more to WWE marketing than who Warrior was as a man. They were able to, like, bring him to the Hall of Fame and tell this story to everybody, and even, like, the, like, meanest smarks were just like, oh no, man, Warrior. Like, you just get sucked back to those feelings you had when you were eight.
I was gonna say, they gave us all permission to just remember, like, oh yeah, yeah, pulling the ropes and
theme
and
music
snorting and doing this thing and the Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. It was odd. I mean, like, he did a lot of things really well, but he did a lot of other things not so well.
Yeah, no, I think my overall impressions, I really liked his character. I loved him as a character. It's a bummer to hear that he was a dick outside the ring, but even then, I'm just like, whatever. He was an awesome character in the ring. I really, really enjoyed him.
Cool. So now it's time for you to pick next week's topic. So every week, I send Brian six matches. He watches them, and then he picks one of the opponents. So one of Warrior's opponents. We had a Honky Tonk Man. Mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan, Rick Rude, Sergeant Slaughter, and The Undertaker. So who is next week's episode going to be about?
Right now, it is Sunday, and we are, like, we have WrestleMania. Like,
About to come on.
One match that I'm really excited for WrestleMania is The Undertaker match with Roman Reigns. Because I've heard that it might be a career ender. Like, for some people have been saying that. I don't know if that's true or not.
None of us do.
Regardless,
we'll save my thoughts maybe for next week's episode. Like,
well, okay, so, and they'll fit right in because I'm choosing Undertaker.
Awesome.
Oh my god, next week's episode.
I'm so excited to do an Undertaker episode. I can't even tell you.
Because he seems like a different Undertaker now than what he was. Like, he kind of sucked a little bit in the ring at that point.
That body bag match.
When they get that camera on him when he's choking the Warrior, it's like his hands are like there's a clear like inch, you know, like of space between the hand and the throat.
So I can find you six much better matches for Undertaker than that Ultimate Warrior one. But, well, that's awesome. So if you guys like the episode, find us on iTunes, find us on YouTube, email us at rhymetimetelevision@gmail.com. Give us your thoughts or comment on YouTube. Just any way you can get a hold of us. Let us know what you thought of it. Let us know what episodes we should do in the future, what your favorite Ultimate Warrior memories or thoughts are. And I think that wraps it up. We're going to go watch WrestleMania.
Absolutely. This has been Learning the Ropes. Step into the ring. The title's on the line. Hit him with a punchline.